I'm Steve Potter, and welcome to Cityscape. The annual St. Louis Fringe Festival runs next Wednesday through Sunday in Grand Center. It's a busy 5 days of original music, theater, comedy, dance, and social events. And we'll have an overview for you later in the hour. And in our monthly soundbite segment with Sauce Magazine, we'll discuss the history and tradition of brunch. Also, what makes a superior brunch and who does it best. But first, Opera News is a publication of the Metropolitan Opera Guild, and a story about the world premiere of 27, opening at Opera Theater of St. Louis tomorrow night, is this month's cover story. 27's composer is Ricky Ian Gordon. The librettist is Royce Vavrick. Welcome to Cityscape, both of you.
Thank you.
Pleased to be here.
And welcome to St. Louis, for that matter, because this is your first time for both, I believe.
Yes, except for, I came last summer to see The House and to hear Champion and The Secret by Smetana.
What'd you think of Champion? That went over very well.
I loved it. I loved it. I really, in particular, loved that Terrence wrote a piece in his own voice. Terrence Blanchard. He didn't fall into the trap that a lot of, say, film composers fall into, where they write in a voice they think they're supposed to have for opera. Mm-hmm. So it sounded what you thought Terrence Blanchard, his opera should sound like him.
Right.
And it was very marvelously theatrical. Yeah. I really appreciated that.
Beautifully directed, designed, sung.
So you saw it too?
Absolutely.
But this is your first time really in St. Louis for any extended period of time.
Absolutely.
Right. Well, Ricky Ian Gordon, in 27, Stephanie Blythe sings the role of Gertrude Stein. And you've worked with her before, haven't you? And you actually created this role for her.
Yes. Yes. I have worked for Stephanie. The first time I worked for her, I did an arrangement of Thelonious Monk's Round Midnight for her, for a concert in New York. But Stephanie's sort of a phenomenon. She's probably the only singer that makes the Met feel too small. You know, I went to see her doing Amneris and Aida, and I just thought, I mean, really, she's like a freak. That is the hugest voice I've ever heard in my life. So it's very exciting writing for a singer that bears that kind of vocal stature on the stage. And the minute her name was mentioned to me as someone to write an opera for, I said Gertrude Stein, because I thought the personality has to match the voice.
Hmm. Well, Elizabeth Futrell plays the role of Alice B. Toklas. Royce, what can you share with us about her? And I think that, Ricky, you've worked with her before, but Royce, you haven't?
Yes, that's true. The way that I designed the libretto, it became very apparent that Alice sort of kept the pulse of this show. And so the singer who we engaged to sing the role of Alice needed to be very warm and be able to sort of knit this world quite literally in our production to life. And in Elizabeth, we have found the most beautiful, warm lady of the stage. She's so, so marvelous. It's really, really something. And she has internalized and invested so much in this performance, and it's every day that we get to see the show. It's mind-bogglingly amazing what she does.
Well, it's an interesting story. Gertrude Stein and Alice B. Toklas were life partners, and we're talking back in the early 1900s. That's something to think about. They were known for their famous salon in Paris and their art and their interesting friends.
At 27 Rue de Fleurus.
Which is where the title of the opera refers to.
Yes, yes. It's interesting because we were talking about this the other day, but we were asked about why now? What is the pertinence of this story now? And though there are some obvious things, like, you know, some would say in the furor about gay marriage that these women led an open relationship as wives to one another at a time when no one else was doing that. But the salon that they sort of hosted, and in particular Gertrude from the beginning, was a place where dialogue and community were paramount and where people fed each other off of their own sort of brilliance and stimulation, and they excited each other into creating some of the most seminal works of the 20th century. And that means something to me now, because sometimes I fear that dialogue and community will disappear and all we'll have is a world full of people behind a screen that entertaining themselves.
Well, talking about Gertrude and Alice as being partners at that time in history, Royce, do your lyrics reflect that? Your libretto reflect that?
Sure, yes.
I mean, that's a big element of the story.
It's a big old romance. So, yeah, very much so. Yeah, the central relationship, of course, in this opera is between Gertrude and Alice. And it really does, in 90 minutes, attempt to create a portrait of the love between these two very singular women.
Well, what's your understanding of what their life was like as far as that relationship? It's so hard for me to conceive that they were open about their relationship at a time when you'd think they would have received a lot of grief about it. Do we know how that worked for them?
I believe they didn't receive a lot of grief about it because they didn't do anything to conceal it or hide it. They went into the world as partners. And sometimes if you insist on an identity without any excuses, people feel a kind of spaciousness around you. They just feel like, who am I to say anything? You know, I do not believe either of them went around with even a shred of shame.
They live very boldly and unapologetically.
Yes.
It was very beautiful.
Them and who else, though?
There was Juna Barnes. They themselves were surrounded with women who were lesbian. I think that's part of it, is that they were in Paris. They were at the hub of the most progressive social scene in the world at that moment. So absolutely no one in their circle was hiding who they were. Everyone wanted to go to 27 Rue de Fleurus in the world, practically, so that they could celebrate their own eccentricity.
Well, let's talk about that salon. I think most people have seen photographs of that room, with or without them sitting in it. It's a big room with high ceilings, lots of big comfortable chairs, and then tons of art on these high ceilings. So that's where the opera, the entire opera is set.
Absolutely.
It's set in, very interestingly, there is certainly in this production, it's not literal. In some ways, it's more metaphoric and it's implied. The most prominent thing in this production is Alan Moyer, the set designer, fell in love with the wallpaper that Alice and Gertrude liked so much that they had it transferred from one apartment to another. And it's this, like, two pigeons. And so he had it reproduced. And the production is quite beautiful. It's Alan Moyer and James Schutte and Jim Ingalls and Greg Emitaz. And it's, everything is implied. It's not literal. Would you say that, Royce?
Yeah. Well, and the way that the show is designed, it begins with Alice knitting the world of Gertrude Stein back to life. And so it feels very much like a memory play. And there is this sense of loss and memory and remembrance and ritual to it all.
So the whole salon is filled with empty frames. And that's why at certain points, one of the things I told Royce when I asked him to write this piece with me is I told him I wanted the paintings to sing. So there are these three men in the show who play everyone. They play Picasso, Matisse, Leo Stein, Man Ray, Fitzgerald, Hemingway, but they also play the paintings and they play doughboys and soldiers. It's Daniel Brevik, Tobias Greenlaw, and Theo Liebau, and they're incredible. And these empty frames become paintings, living paintings, but at a certain point they're disappeared paintings because the frame is the salon long after Gertrude has died.
Well, this is the world premiere of 27, so obviously we don't have anything to sample. But we would like to sample some of your music, Ricky, just to get an idea. And we have something from Grapes of Wrath, your opera, Grapes of Wrath. Would you say a little about that?
It's an opera that I wrote with the librettist Michael Corey, and it's the first selection from the opera, and it's called The Last Time There Was Rain. And it's the prologue, and it's taken directly from Steinbeck's book. Steinbeck frames the book that's the story of the Jodes and the exodus from their ruined land. But every other chapter in the book is Steinbeck's take on an America that could allow that to happen to those people. And the first chapter is basically about the end of rain and the beginning of drought.
Thank you. last time there was rain, the rich red earth was soaked, and up them baby corn shoots poked. The spill off from the ditch made gullies in the ground, and birds which ate the bugs made such a pretty
That's from composer Ricky Ian Gordon's Grapes of Wrath. We're talking to Ricky and librettist Royce Vavrick about 27. The world premiere opens tomorrow night at Opera Theater St. Louis, part of their festival season. 27 tells the story of the relationship of Alice B. Toklas and Gertrude Stein. The two held court at their salon in Paris on Saturday evenings. What were those evenings like, and how do you portray that on stage?
Well, Acts 1 and 3 really do try to celebrate the energy and the event of the Saturday Night Salons. In Act 1, we get to see Gertrude holding court with Picasso and Matisse and Leo Stein, her brother, prior to his leaving for Italy. And in Act 3, we get to meet Man Ray, Ernest Hemingway, and Scott Fitzgerald. And so we get to experience a little bit of that, the color and the life of these people coming and exchanging ideas and really trying to understand more their community and become artists.
Well, was it all serious discussion or was this a party?
That's the thing is that, and the way, just to say that in terms of the way Royce has written libretto, a lot of times it's also we're getting to see very often people came to the salon to curry Gertrude Stein's attention, to curry her favor, you know. So you see these great artists and they're there, and they're there where they are acknowledged and celebrated or derided, but they go even for the punishment because she was such a great authority at the time.
And I guess we should say, I don't think we've said that Gertrude Stein was a writer.
Yes. And not just a writer, but as far as she was concerned, there was Shakespeare, the Bible, and her.
Well, what was Alice B. Toklas's role? I know we've all heard of her famous brownies.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So, number one, is that true?
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. I own her cookbook, for goodness sakes. Mm-hmm.
Yes. But, you know, Alice's role, I mean, Gertrude wrote all night and then left the manuscript, and Alice typed it up in the morning. I would probably say that Gertrude would have disintegrated and fallen apart entirely if Alice wasn't there, basically running the life they had together.
Yeah, Alice even did things like dust all the priceless artwork they had, right?
Yeah.
She kept the tempo of the home.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of the tempo, let's talk about that. This is five acts and no intermission, so it must move quickly, and it's 90 minutes long.
Five acts and a prologue, yes. It's only 90 minutes. It's told in broad brush strokes, basically. Do you want to talk about how you formatted it, Royce?
Sure. The structure of the piece is such that the prologue begins with Alice knitting this world back to life. And Act One then explores the salon prior to World War I. Act Two is World War I. Act Three is the interwar years, where we get to explore the idea of the lost generation of writers that were nurtured at 27 Rue de Fleurus. Act Four is World War II, and we, in that act, explore Gertrude's conscience coming and really eating away at her. And then Act Five, I really, really loved reading about the painting and how late in Alice's life, the Picasso portrait, which figures quite strongly in this piece, was taken away from her and donated to the Metropolitan Museum of Art. And so we get to see a final communion over the painting between Alice and Picasso. And so it kind of brackets the whole show. The creation of the portrait is the fundamental element of Act One, and then the tearing it away becomes the final gesture of the opera.
You know, we've talked a lot about the salon and the great times that happened there, but just briefly, there's another element, and I know that figures into your story too. Both these women were Jewish, so being Jewish in Paris during World War II presented its own obstacles and problems.
That was a big thing. When I asked Royce to write the libretto, I said, I don't want to whitewash Gertrude. With what we know now in terms of the speculation of how exactly did two Jewish lesbians stay safe during World War II in Paris, in France, I want to at least explore that. And that's what Act Four, when Royce said that Act Four is about Gertrude's conscience, it's basically she's sort of put on trial by her portrait or by the paintings. And it's an exploration of exactly how did you stay safe during the war and why.
And one final thing I just want to mention, I'm sure it's not addressed in your opera because this would be afterwards, but maybe you can just throw a little insight into it. Alice outlived Gertrude by a long time.
20 years.
That's what frames the opera, Alice's loneliness.
So, but she's still at number 27. And then when she's in her 80s, when Alice is in her 80s, she goes on a vacation. Unbeknownst to her, Gertrude's niece has gone to court and sort of takes possession of everything while she's gone.
Mm-hmm. The paintings are gone because they decided that she was not protecting them. It was very ugly what happened to Alice after Gertrude died. And it's funny because up until a few years ago, you could be in a gay relationship for years and those kind of things could happen to you. Obviously, there are more protections in place now.
Be interesting if these two women were alive today, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would.
It might be a different opera.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Opera Theater of St. Louis presents Ricky Ian Gordon's and Royce Vavrick's 27, opening tomorrow, running through June 29th, various days. It's part of Opera Theater of St. Louis's festival season. If you'd like more information, go to stlpublicradio.org to the Cityscape page, and we'll have a link to all the information you need to know. And one final question for both of you, please. Alice or Gertrude? Do you have a favorite and why? Royce Vavrick.
Oh, wow. Oh, man. I've grown so unbelievably fond of both of them. They feel a very kindred to me. But the big discovery for me was Alice in writing this piece. So to make a long answer short, I'll say Alice.
Ricky.
I love them both. But since Royce said Alice, I'll say Gertrude because I feel like without Gertrude, there probably wouldn't have been an Alice.
And if there was no Alice, there may not have been a Gertrude.
Right, but there is this idea of someone whose personality is so huge and so forceful and so inclusive that she invites everyone of any substance into her universe at a certain point in time.
27 opens tomorrow night at Opera Theater. Royce Vavrick, Ricky Ian Gordon, thank you so much, and I hope you enjoy your time in St. Louis.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up next on Cityscape, the St. Louis Fringe Festival. This is St. Louis Public Radio.